The second Sunday in Advent. The epistle is taken from the letter of St. Paul to the Romans. Brethren, whatever things have been written for our instruction, that through the patience and consolation afforded by the Scriptures we may have hope. May then the God of patience and comfort grant you to be of one mind towards one another according to Jesus Christ, that one in spirit you may with one mouth glorify the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore receive one another, even as Christ has received you, to the honor of God. For I say that Christ Jesus has been a minister of the circumcision in order to show God's fidelity in confirming the promises made to our fathers, but that the Gentiles glorify God because of his mercy, as it is written, therefore I will praise thee among the Gentiles and will sing to thy name. And again he says, rejoice you Gentiles with his people. And again, praise the Lord all you Gentiles and sing his praises all you people. And again, Isaiah says, there shall be the root of Jesse, and he who shall arise to rule the Gentiles, in him the Gentiles shall have hope. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope and in the power of the Holy Spirit. The gospel is taken from that of St. Matthew. At that time, when John had heard in prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples to say to him, art thou who is to come, or shall we look for another? And Jesus answering said to them, go and report to John what you have heard and seen. The blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead rise, the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he who is not scandalized in me. Then, as these went away, Jesus began to say to the crowds concerning John, what did you go out in the desert to see? A reed shaken by the wind. But what did you go out to see? A man clothed in soft garments? Behold, those who wear soft garments are in the houses of kings. But what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, who shall make ready thy way before thee. Thus are the words of the Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. In today's Gospel, we have St. John sending two of his disciples to our Lord. Now, initially, it seems like St. John is not sure who our Lord is when we read this initially, but St. John knows exactly who our Lord is. If you recall, it was St. Elizabeth who proclaimed, at the Annunciation, she said, who am I that the mother of my Lord would come to me? And so his mother, even when he was still a little baby in the womb, knew who he was. And so we can be assured that his mother probably talked to him about Jesus. But even without that conclusion, we can look in the Scriptures in another place. Remember, this is at the end of St. John the Baptist's life. He's in prison. Herod has put him in prison. And he's about to, very soon, cut off his head. But previously, when St. John the Baptist was baptizing, he points him out. He says, there is the Lamb of God, that man over there. Who he knew. He knew who Jesus was. He was a relative of him. But he pointed him out and said, there he is. So St. John knew who he was. And he sent his two disciples for the benefit of the disciples, so that they would go and investigate who Christ was. As St. John the Baptist says, I must decrease and he must increase. Well, at this point, it's about to be completed, where St. John is going to be martyred. And so the disciples go to our Lord, and they ask, are you he who is to come, or we to look for another? That is, they're not sure. Are you the Messiah or not? And our Lord answers, says, go and report to John what you have seen. The blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, and the dead rise. The poor of the gospel preach to them. It's a kind of a mysterious response. What our Lord is doing is quoting some of the prophecies from the Old Testament about the coming of the Messiah. He's quoting these so that they make their own conclusion. Oh yes, these things are happening, these miracles are happening, therefore you must be the one who we are looking for, the one that we are awaiting. And then our Lord says something kind of mysterious. He says, and blessed is he who is not scandalized in me. Why does he say that? Why does he say that? He says that because sometimes, and what these disciples are doing is really no different than everyone else. Sometimes we have fixed ideas about what Christ is about and what he's going to do. And when the truth comes, we kind of sometimes have trouble believing it. You know, St. Paul, writing to the Romans, now remember, this is the Romans. Rome is, of course, the capital of the Gentile nation. And he's writing about, you know, we have the Jews and the Gentiles. Christ is the fulfillment of confirming the promises made to our fathers. And the Gentiles glorify God because of mercy, and they're brought in also. So he's talking about this Jew and Gentile coming together. But it's important to understand what the belief was at the time. That is, the Jews oftentimes thought that Christ was going to be, the Christ was going to be some political messiah. He's going to lead the armies to conquer the world. So they're going to conquer the Roman Empire. And so we have these prophecies here that St. Paul is talking about the Gentiles. You know, rejoice you Gentiles with his people. So they knew that somehow the Gentiles were going to be part of, under, in with the Jewish nation. But many thought it was going to be like an empire, like the Roman Empire, except now this one was going to be centered in Jerusalem. It would spread out through the whole world and these type of things. Of course, they were wrong. They were wrong. They believed this. They thought this was what was going to happen. And so when they saw Christ, they were scandalized. They were scandalized. The scandal of the cross. Come down off that cross if you are the Christ, because he's not supposed to die. He's supposed to live forever. And so sometimes people have a false idea of what Christ is and a false idea of what he plans to do in this world. And in particular for each one of us, what his plan for each one of our lives is. You know, sometimes I talk to young people and they have it all figured out. They'll say, oh, you know, I'm going to do this and that and this and that. And you just kind of smile and nod and say, okay, well, that's interesting. And we'll see in 30 years what happens. Because Christ has different plans for each one of us and different plans for the world. He doesn't tell us what those plans are. And so we have this interplay between faith and hope. In the epistle, there's St. Paul talks about hope. What is hope? Faith is when God reveals things to us through the scriptures or through the magisterium, reveals things to us. And hope is that virtue by which we know God not just reveals this, but he's going to give us the ability to obtain those things that he reveals to us. So the basic notion is that, you know, there's a heaven, this place of peace awaiting each one of us. Or there's this place of peace. But that's faith. We know that there's an afterlife. And hope is the belief that God is going to give us that ability in this world to obtain to that. Whatever it is or however it is. Now the difficulty is sometimes that we misunderstand what that faith is and what we are supposed to do. You know, I think everyone has heard the story of St. Francis of Assisi when he was praying in a little chapel, much smaller than this church, and our Lord from the crucifix spoke to him and said, Francis, repair my church. And he said, yes, Lord. And then he began to physically repair the church because he thought our Lord meant physically repairing that little church. And so he went around and fixed it up and got volunteers to do everything. And it was only later on that he realized that our Lord wasn't talking about that physical church, that he was talking about his church in general. And St. Francis, being one of the greatest saints ever, of course, did reform the church through his embrace of poverty. And so this is the lesson for us, is that as we await the coming of Christ in Advent here, we're awaiting the celebration, the commemoration of Christ's coming, that we need to then look in ourselves and think about things in our life. That sometimes we can mistake what our Lord is calling us to do. Sometimes we can misunderstand what Christ is about. Some people still think that Christianity is to be this political empire and that we're to rule the nations or something. That's not the case. That Christ is here for us, to lead us to Him, to God. And so, during the time of Advent, we are to think about this. We have the faith that the faith of what has been revealed to us, heaven, and of course everything else. And there's a hope that Christ will give us those graces to attain that. But we need to then respond to that. It's not just all on God's part. We have to respond. Just like those disciples were sent by John, and then they listened to Christ, and then it's implied then they recognize that He is the Christ. They make a decision. They go, they listen, they make a decision. So also St. Francis, he listened, he was mistaken, but then he understood. He responded. And so it is for us to respond here during Advent. You know, in Lent, I've said this before, at Lent we're to make up for our sins. We're to do, to look at our sins and try to have a deeper hatred for them. Here in Advent, though, we are to not so much focus on our sins, but it is also to be a time in which we're to evaluate our life. And that is to think about what things we can put aside that maybe aren't sins, but maybe are hampering our turning to Christ. You know, there's a lot of things that aren't sinful, but we have to ask, are they really helping us in our spiritual life? You know, many of the saints say that once a person stops sinning, that's when the spiritual life begins. And so we can think about our life and, saying this more, probably a little too general, what type of things we can put off. Just something as simple as reading the news every day. There's nothing sinful there, but is that really productive of our spiritual life? Is that really putting Christ first in our life? Maybe we can put that aside and spend a little time on something else, reading Lives of the Saints, or even the Scripture, or spending a little time in prayer. So this is for us to then look at. How are we responding to Christ? In the Scripture, we see hope. God gives us hope. He's going to give us the graces for us to obtain to everlasting life. He fulfills the promises that were made to the Jews. He brings in the Gentiles so that they are able also to go to heaven. And then for us, we are to look at our own self and our own life. How are we responding to those graces that are offered to us? Are we really turning to Christ and trying to make Him first in our life? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.